Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on a story from the Book of Acts in which the Apostle Peter raises a woman named Tabitha. How long, O Lord, must we wait? How long until a Saviour comes and sweeps through this nation and puts everything right? How long until the corrupt are thrown out of power and the violent are contained and the poor are cared for and our world is restored? How long until political leaders show compassion? How long until religious leaders repent for the damage they have done? How long until asylum seekers are freed from detention? How long until children in foster care find stable, healthy homes? How long until Australia's First Peoples experience the same life expectancy as other Australians? How long, O Lord, must we wait? In the Gospel according to John, the Judeans ask this of Jesus, adding, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." They long for a Saviour who will fix everything, and to some extent so do many of us. They hoped for a Lion of Judah. We hope for a leader who is wise enough and strong enough and far-sighted enough and kind enough to govern with mercy and justice and love. And if that doesn't happen in the next election, then how long, O Lord, must we wait? Not everyone asks this question. The stories about the disciples in Acts show little of this wondering. Instead, they just get on with things, preaching and teaching, healing, encouraging, forgiving, praying, sharing and singing. They don't ask when the Saviour will come, because they are living the answer. We see it in tonight's story. Christ has recently been raised from the dead, and now a disciple, Peter, is raising someone else from the dead. Now, Peter is hardly a perfect or holy man. He's a fisherman who again and again didn't get what Jesus was on about, and who only a few weeks ago denied even knowing Jesus. But here he is, raising someone out of death and restoring her to life. You might remember the time when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus. People send for Jesus. He goes to the house. There are mourners everywhere. He enters the room where the body lies. He sends everyone away. He holds the girl's hand. He says, "Talitha kum," little girl, get up. Tonight's story follows the same pattern, only Peter says, "Tabitha kum," Tabitha, get up. And like the little girl Talitha, up Tabitha got. This tells us the ordinary stumbling Peter is filled with Christ's Spirit. His life and his actions follow the pattern set down by Christ Jesus, and he raises the dead. And it's not just anyone who he raises. He's raising a disciple, a woman named Tabitha or Dorcas. Both words mean gazelle. Tabitha is Aramaic and Dorcas is Greek. Naming her twice tells us that the community at Joppa was bilingual and multicultural. But more than that, naming her so precisely tells us that Tabitha was important. And we see this also in the urgency with which the other disciples send for Peter when she dies. What makes this woman so important? When Peter arrives, he finds widows weeping, and they show him the clothes that Tabitha has made for them. Now, for the most part, you and I don't know who makes our clothes. And beyond a slight twinge, perhaps, when a factory collapses in Bangladesh, we couldn't really care less whether the makers live or die. But we are not first century Mediterranean widows. They had no economic rights. For them, without clothes made by hand and without other gifts and acts of loving kindness, they had quite literally nothing. Tabitha has been caring for these women, and she was devoted to good works and acts of loving kindness. And so, like Peter, She too was filled with the Spirit of Christ. Her life overflowed with Christ-like compassion and care for the most vulnerable. And by raising her, Peter gives widows their lives back. When the Judeans in the temple asked, "How long, O Lord?" Jesus replied, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them abundant eternal life, and they will never perish." Now, when we think of eternal life, we often think of an afterlife, something quite separate from this life and this age. But this idea comes from Greek and Roman philosophy. It's become cemented in our era. And so many will teach you that salvation is individual, personal, and in the life to come. But this is not the Hebraic worldview. In the worldview in which Jesus lived and operated, there were two ages. One was the present age, that world that we see around us, with all its violence, corruption, and ravaging of the earth. The other was the age to come, God's age, the age of Shalom, which brings peace, restoration, healing, and wholeness. But in Jesus' worldview, we won't be rescued out of the present age. We will not be removed from the earth. There is no other place or time where we will end up. Instead, the present age is transformed from within. This earth will be healed. And in the healing of this earth and all creation, we too will be healed. Now, this new age, this renewal of all creation, arrived with the resurrection. And it continues to break into this age and unfold among us even now. This is the abundant life that Jesus' sheep recognize and participate in. Foolish, betraying, enthusiastic Peter participates in this life, God's new age, and he raises Tabitha from the dead. The new community at Joppa, a community which takes women seriously, cares for its most vulnerable members, loves beyond biological family, and welcomes people from various backgrounds, participates in this age, God's new age, as it witnesses to a new way of being community together. And Tabitha, whose life overflows with goodness and mercy, participates in this life, God's new age, a life so abundant that even death cannot stop her. Peter raises her once. He doesn't raise her again and again. But as Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them life in abundance and they will never perish." And in every healthy church today, there is still a Tabitha. For she lives on in every person who turns up with soup or a warm coat or a listening ear and a kind word when you really need it. No faith community can survive without her. She is the bedrock. O Lord, how long must we wait? The early church knew the answer. The wait is over. Jesus is alive and he lives in everyone who hears his voice and follows him and witnesses to God's new age. Right here, right now. Jesus is alive when, like the community at Joppa, we join with people from many different backgrounds to form a faith community. When our love transcends age, race, class, culture, physical or intellectual capability, gender identity, sexual preference, personality type, attachment style. When our love transcends these and other things, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive when, like the early disciples, we honour those who care for the poor as greatly as we honour those who engage in more public ministries. When we raise up those who make soup and sew clothes and care for foster kids and tend the sick and give sacrificially, then Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive when, like Tabitha, we use our gifts to serve the most vulnerable. And when our service provides a witness to a life so abundant that others come to faith, then Jesus is alive. There is no more waiting. There is no more longing. For Jesus is alive within us and among us. Our rescuer lives, and God's new age is already unfolding. Our politicians won't save us, but that won't stop us living into God's kingdom culture right here and now, a space where self-sacrifice and gentleness, justice, mercy, freedom, healing, and peace abound. So let us celebrate the life that death could not hold, the life that Jesus shared among his community through the centuries and shares with us now. Let us radiate resurrection in everything that we say and do. And let us proclaim with our words and our lives that fear and death have no more authority and that the reign of Christ has come. Thanks be to God. That's all for today. Thanks for listening.